At first, no one on Hoth heard the sound. It was still too distant to carry above the whining winds. And the rebel troopers, fighting the cold as they prepared for battle, were too busy to really listen. But then, a strange sound could be heard. An ominous thumping that was coming nearer and was beginning to shake the frozen ground. When it was close enough to attract the attention of an officer, he strained to see through the storm. Other men looked up from their work and saw what looked like a number of moving specks advancing through the blizzard at a slow yet steady pace. The officer raised his electro binoculars and focused. He found himself looking at machines, maybe a dozen of them, each stalking like enormous ungulates on four jointed legs. Walkers. With a shock of recognition, the officer identified the Empire's all-terrain armored transports. Each machine was formidably armed with cannons placed on its foreside like the horns of some prehistoric beast. The officer grabbed his comlink.
Rogue leader, incoming. Point 03.
Echo Station 5-7, we're on our way. Even as Luke replied, brilliant billows of orange and yellow flames exploded from the Walker guns, and explosions sprayed ice and snow around the officer and his terror-struck men. One all-terrain armored transport machine fired, blowing a speeder into a ball of flaming oblivion. From his cockpit window, Luke saw his squadron's first casualty and angrily fired his ship's guns at a Walker, only to receive a hail of Imperial firepower that shook his speeder in a barrage of flak. Regaining control, Luke was joined by another snowspeeder, Rogue 3. They swarmed like insects around the relentlessly stomping Walkers. Luke maneuvered his speeder between the Walker's jointed legs and soared out from under the monster machine. Rogue Group, he called into his comlink. Use your harpoons and tow cables. Go for the legs. It's our only hope of stopping them. Stick close, Hobby.
Yes, sir, came the reassuring voice from the companion snowspeeder.
Luke and Hobby veered in tight formation, dropping near a Hoth's surface. Explosion after explosion rocked Luke's ship, tossing it about violently. A Walker was firing directly at him, creating a wall of laser bolts and enveloping flak.
Hang on, Dak, Luke yelled over the explosions, and get ready to fire that tow cable.
Another great blast shook Luke's snowspeeder.
Stand by. We're almost there. Okay, Dak?
Dak didn't answer. Luke managed to turn, but behind him, Dak was slumped against the controls, blood streaming from his forehead.
Dak!
On the ground, the gun towers near the rebel power generators blasted away at the walking Imperial machines, but with no apparent effect. Imperial weapons bombarded the area all around them, blasting the snow skyward, almost blinding their human targets with the continuous onslaught. The surface explosions made the halls of the ice hangar tremble, causing deep cracks to spread. Han Solo and Chewbacca worked frantically to complete their welding job. They knew the widening cracks would soon bring the entire ice ceiling smashing down upon them. The Rogue 3 snowspeeder had just attacked the lead Walker. Its pilot, Wedge, gave a victory hoot as he saw the damage his guns had caused. Wedge steered his craft on a direct course toward another walking death machine. As he approached the monster, Wedge shouted to his gunner,
"Activate harpoon!"
The gunner pressed the firing switch as his pilot daringly maneuvered their craft through the Walker's legs. Immediately, the harpoon whooshed from the rear of the speeder, a long length of cable unwinding behind it.
"Cable out," the gunner yelled. "Let her go."
Wedge saw the harpoon plunge into one of the metal legs and brought the speeder around in front of the Imperial machine. Making an abrupt turn, Wedge guided his ship around one of the hind legs, the cable banding around it like a metallic lariat.
"Cable out!"
shouted the gunner again, and released the cable from the rear of the snowspeeder. The speeder zoomed away, and Wedge laughed as he looked down at the results of their efforts. The cable had completely entangled the Walker's legs.
It leaned to one side and then crashed down onto the ground, stirring up clouds of ice and snow. In the trenches, rebel troops cheered, charged the fallen walker and were about to enter the great metallic hulk when it suddenly exploded from within. Luke and Zev could see the destruction of the walker as they flew overhead. Their craft were shaken by explosions from the walker's cannons. "Steady, Rogue Two," Luke said, looking over to the snow speeder flying parallel to his own ship. "Set harpoon. I'll cover you." But there was another explosion, this one damaging the front section of Zev's ship. The pilot could barely see through the engulfing cloud of smoke that fogged his windshield. When it did clear, Zev saw he was directly in the line of fire of another Imperial walker. A moment later, his snub-nosed craft erupted in flames amid a burst of cannon fire. Luke saw the disintegration and was sickened by the loss of yet another friend. He looked around desperately, then spoke into his comlink. "Wedge! Wedge! Rogue Three! Set your harpoon and follow me on the next pass." As he spoke, Luke was hit hard by a terrific explosion that ripped through his speeder. Black smoke began pouring from his ship's aft section. There was no way he could remain aloft. To make matters even worse, a walker loomed directly in his path. Luke's ship plunged toward the ground, leaving a trail of smoke and flames behind. When he finally brought the ship down, it skidded and then crashed into the snow just a few meters away from another Imperial machine. Luke fought to pull himself free from the cockpit as the looming figure of the walker approached, shaking the speeder with each elephantine step. Luke shoved the hatch half open and squeezed himself out as the huge horror came closer and closer. Braving the flames, he tried to get Dak's lifeless form out of the wrecked speeder, but the body was wedged too tightly in the cockpit. Luke reached past his dead comrade and grabbed the harpoon gun. Gazing at the advancing mechanical behemoth, he suddenly had an idea. He reached back inside the cockpit once more and groped for a landmine he knew was attached to the ship's interior. He found it, pulled it free, and leaped away from his vehicle just as the towering machine lifted a massive foot and planted it firmly, crushing the burning snow speeder flat. Luke crouched underneath the walker, moving with it. As he ran along, he aimed his harpoon gun up and fired. A powerful magnet attached to a long, thin cable was ejected from the gun and firmly attached itself to the machine's underbelly. Still running, Luke attached the cable drum to the buckle of his utility belt, allowing its mechanism to pull him up off the ground. He climbed up to the machine's hull, where he had observed a small hatch. Quickly cutting it open with his laser sword, Luke pulled open the hatch, threw in the landmine, and made a rapid descent along the cable. As he reached the end, Luke dropped hard onto the snow and lost consciousness. The walker passed over and away from him. Suddenly, the tremendous bulk of the mechanical beast exploded at the seams, and the entire machine crumbled into a smoking, motionless heap. The Rebel Command Center was attempting to operate amid the destruction. There were still Rebel personnel on duty, including Princess Leia. She wanted to be certain that the last of the transport ships had slipped past the Imperial Armada and were approaching their rendezvous point in space. Han Solo rushed into the command center, dodging great sections of the ice ceiling that came plunging down at him. He hurried to the control board where Leia stood beside C-3PO. "You've got to get to your ship," he said urgently, took her hand, and led her and 3PO from the chamber. As they left, Leia gave one final order to the controller. "Give the evacuation signal and get to the transport." "Come on," Han urged, grimacing. "If you don't get there fast, your ship won't be able to take off." The threesome neared the hangar where Leia's transport ship was waiting, rounded a corner, and found the entrance completely blocked by ice and snow. Han quickly led them back down the corridor and snapped on his comlink. "Transport C-17, he yelled into the small microphone. "We're coming. We're going around. Hold on." They could hear Leia's escape vessel preparing for liftoff. Another few meters and the princess would be safe. The chamber suddenly quaked with a terrible noise, and the entire ceiling crashed down in front of them. "We're cut off," Han yelled into his comlink.
You'll have to take off without Princess Organa. He turned to her. If we're lucky, we can still make it to the Falcon.
The princess and C-3PO followed as Han dashed toward another chamber, hoping the Millennium Falcon and his Wookiee co-pilot had not already been buried under an avalanche of snow. Looking out across the white battlefield, the rebel officer watched the remaining snowspeeders whisking through the air and the last of the Imperial vehicles as they passed the wreckage of the exploded walker. He flipped on his comlink and heard,
"Disengage! Disengage! Begin retreat action!"
The officer signaled his men to move back inside the ice cavern and then realized the lead walker was still treading heavily in the direction of the power generators. In the cockpit of the assault machine, General Veers could see the crackling power generators below and the rebel troops defending them.
"Coming within range, sir," reported his pilot. "Prepare to target the main generator," Veers said.
The walker, flanked by two of the hulking machines, lurched forward, its guns blazing to scatter the retreating rebel troops. As they fled, the surviving rebel soldiers glimpsed a lone snowspeeder in the distance, a black trail of smoke escaping its burning hull. General Veers, proudly transmitting his report to Imperial headquarters, was totally unaware of Rogue Four's approach.
"Yes, Lord Vader. I've reached the main power generators. The shield will be down in moments. You may commence your landing."
The general ended his transmission, reached for the electro rangefinder, and looked through the eyepiece to line up the main power generators. Suddenly, the readouts on the small monitor screens mysteriously vanished. Confounded, Veers turned instinctively toward a cockpit window. He flinched in terror at the sight of a smoking projectile heading on a direct course straight toward him. Hobby's burning ship crashed through the walker cockpit like a manned bomb, its fuel igniting into a cascade of flame and debris. For a second, there were human screams, and then the entire machine crashed to the ground. The nearby blast jarred Luke back to consciousness. Dazed, he slowly lifted his head from the snow. He tried to stand as his comlink whistled. Somehow, he found the strength to flick on its receiver.
"Forward units, withdrawal complete," he heard.
Withdrawal? Then Leia and the others must have escaped. Luke gathered his strength to rise and begin making the long trek back toward a distant formation of ice. Another explosion rocked the rebel hangar deck, cracking the ceiling and almost burying the docked Millennium Falcon in a mound of ice. Under the ship, Chewbacca impatiently waited for the return of his captain. When the shaggy giant saw Han Solo, followed by Princess Leia and C-3PO, climb over the hills of ice and snow and enter the chamber, he threw back his huge maned head and roared. Not far from the hangar, Imperial stormtroopers, their faces shielded by white helmets and white snowscreens, moved down deserted corridors. With them strode their leader, the dark-robed figure who surveyed the shambles that had been the rebel base at Hoth. Darth Vader's image stood out starkly against the white walls, ceiling, and floor. The sound of the low whine coming from nearby iron engines made Vader quicken his pace. The Imperial stormtroopers right behind him. Entering the hangar, he perceived the familiar saucer-shaped form of the Millennium Falcon. Within the battered freighter, Han and Chewbacca tried desperately to get the craft moving. "This bucket of bolts is never going to get us past that blockade," Princess Leia complained. Han pushed a button on the intercom, struggling to keep his patience, even as he realized his companion had lost hers.
"Chewie! Come on!"
Just then, the Falcon was jolted by a blast of Imperial laser fire that flashed outside the cockpit window. They could all see the Imperial stormtroopers rushing with drawn weapons into the far end of the ice hangar.
"Chewie!"
Han yelled as he quickly strapped himself into his pilot's chair. Meanwhile, a somewhat subdued young woman seated herself in the navigator's chair. Outside, stormtroopers worked with military efficiency to set up a powerful, bazooka-shaped gun they knew would destroy the freighter. Behind them, the hangar doors began to open. One of the Falcon's powerful laser weapons appeared from the hull and swung about, aiming directly at the stormtroopers. Han released a deadly blast. The explosion scattered armored stormtrooper bodies all over the hangar. Chewbacca dashed into the cockpit as Han announced,
"We'll just have to switch over and hope for the best."
The Wookiee hurled his hairy bulk into the co-pilot's seat as yet another laser blast erupted outside the window next to him. He yelled indignantly, then yanked back on the controls to bring the welcome roar of engine fire from deep inside the Falcon. Han grinned at the princess, then turned to his co-pilot.
"Punch it!"
The huge freighter's engines roared, and everything behind the craft instantly melted in the fiery exhaust billowing from its tailpiece. As the Millennium Falcon soared from the hangar, Luke saw it go and turned to smile at Wedge and his gunner. At least Han got away. The three turned and trudged along to their waiting X-Wing fighter ships. They reached them, shook hands, and moved to their separate vehicles.
"Good luck," Wedge called after him. "See you at the rendezvous."
Luke waved and continued toward his X-Wing. For a moment, he was overcome by a surge of loneliness. Then, out of nowhere, a familiar whistle greeted Luke.
"R2!" he exclaimed. "Is that you?"
Sitting snugly in the socket that had been installed for these helpful R2 units was the little barrel-shaped droid, his head peeking from the top of the ship. Darth Vader, a raven specter, quickly strode through the ruins of the rebel ice fortress. Admiral Piet rushed up to overtake his master.
17 ships destroyed, he reported. We don't know how many got away.
The Millennium Falcon?
Vader snarled through his mask without turning his head. Piet paused a moment before replying.
Our tracking scanners are on it now, he responded fearfully.
Vader turned to face the Admiral, his towering figure looming over the frightened officer.
"I want that ship," the Dark Lord hissed.
The ice planet was rapidly shrinking to a point of dim light as the Millennium Falcon sped into space. The ship was not alone. An Imperial fleet that included the Avenger Star Destroyer and a half-dozen TIE fighters followed. The fighters closed in on the fleeing Millennium Falcon and opened fire. Chewbacca howled over the roar of the Falcon's engines as the ship lurched, buffeted by the blasts of flak. Han pointed out the window in front of them.
"Two more Star Destroyers, and they're heading right for us. Hold on!"
Han dropped the Falcon into a 90-degree dive. Suddenly, the two Star Destroyers were on a direct collision course with the Avenger. Alarms blared through the interiors of all three Star Destroyers. One destroyer began to move left in its effort to avoid collision with the Avenger. As it veered sluggishly, it brushed its companion ship, violently shaking up both spaceborne fortresses. The damaged destroyers began to drift through space.
"Two down," Han thought.
But there was still the Avenger, and the quartet of TIE fighters blasting the Falcon's stern with full laser fire.
"That slowed them down a bit," Han exulted. "Chewie, stand by to make the jump to light speed."
The laser attack was intense now. The TIE fighters were almost on top of them.
"They're very close," Leia warned.
Han looked at her with a wicked glint in his eyes.
"Watch this."
He threw the hyperspace throttle forward. Nothing happened. The stars that should by then have been mere blurs of light were still. Something was definitely wrong. Han worked the controls a second time. Again, nothing.
"I think we're in trouble," he muttered.
Chewbacca threw back his head and let out a loud and miserable wail.
"We're in trouble," Han repeated.
As Luke Skywalker's sleek X-Wing fighter streaked away from the planet of snow and ice, he thought about the events of the past few days and arrived at a sudden decision. Luke flipped a number of switches on his control board and took the X-Wing into a steep turn. R2, snug in his specially designed socket, began to whistle and beep. The miniature computer on the ship translated the droid's message into a control panel view screen. "There's nothing wrong, R2," Luke replied. "I'm just setting a new course. We're going to the Dagobah system." Startled, R2 emitted a series of beeps and toots, reminding Luke about the planned rebel rendezvous and Princess Leia's order. Mildly exasperated, the young pilot exclaimed, "I'm countermanding that order." The little droid fell silent. But moments later, when Luke made a few minor adjustments on the controls, it made a series of soft noises, careful not to annoy Luke. "I know, R2, the Dagobah system doesn't appear on any of our navigational charts. But don't worry." Luke couldn't help himself and smiled. "I know where I'm going. I'll get us there safely." Han Solo was down in the ship's hold, frantically trying to repair the malfunctioning hyperdrive unit. "Horizontal booster," he snapped at his co-pilot, who checked the mechanisms as commanded and barked. It looked fine to him. "Alluvial damper," another bark. Han grabbed the hydrospanners out of the toolkit and paused to look at his faithful Wookiee friend. "I don't know how we're going to get out of this one," he confided. Just then, a resounding thump hit the Falcon's side, making the ship pitch and turn radically. Han braced himself as the hydrospanners flew from his hand. "That was no laser blast," he shouted at Chewbacca over the noise. "Something hit us." "Han! Han!" Princess Leia called to him from the cockpit. "Get up here!" Han lurched out of the hold and raced back to the cockpit with Chewbacca. They were stunned by what they saw through the windows. Asteroids! Enormous chunks of flying rock hurtled through space as far as they could see. Han returned to his pilot's seat and grabbed the Falcon's controls as his co-pilot settled himself back into his own seat. "Chewie," Han ordered, "set 271. Leia gasped. "You're not thinking of heading into the asteroid field?" That was exactly what Han was thinking. "Hang on, sweetheart," he exclaimed. "We're going to do some flying." Leia winced and buckled herself firmly into her seat. Han knew he had no other choice. Flying more on instinct than on instruments, he steered his ship through the relentless rain of stone. He glanced at his scanner screens and saw that the TIE fighters and the Avenger had not yet abandoned the chase. Han continued to maneuver through the asteroid hail. Behind him, an asteroid and a TIE fighter collided. Han smiled. No survivors on that one, he thought. The TIE pilots were among the best in the Empire, but they couldn't compete with Han Solo. Either they weren't good enough, or they weren't crazy enough. Crazy or not, they had no choice but to follow in hot pursuit. The greatest of all the Imperial Star Destroyers regally moved out of Hoth's orbit. Admiral Piet entered Darth Vader's dimly lit private meditation chamber as invited and stopped. Darth Vader turned to hear his admiral's report. "Our pursuit ships have sighted the Millennium Falcon, my lord. It has entered an asteroid field."
"Asteroids don't concern me, Admiral," Vader said as he slowly clenched his fist. "How long until you have Skywalker and the others in the Millennium Falcon?"
"Soon, Lord Vader," the Admiral answered, trembling in fear. Two gigantic asteroids hurtled toward the Millennium Falcon. Han made a daring banking maneuver that pulled it out of their path. Behind the Falcon, three TIE fighters veered through the rocks in hot pursuit. Suddenly, one of the three was fatally scraped by a shapeless chunk of rock and spun off, hopelessly out of control. Han Solo glimpsed the pursuing ships through the windows of his cockpit as he spun his craft around. speeding under yet another oncoming asteroid as the Star Destroyer held its course behind him, blasting speeding asteroids in its path. Han glanced at Leia. She sat stone-faced, staring at the swarm of asteroids. He checked his computer readings.
That Star Destroyer is slowing down, and we're going to get pulverized if we stay out here much longer. I'm going to get in closer to one of the big ones.
Chewbacca stared at his pilot in amazement and barked. Han swerved the Millennium Falcon between a few larger asteroids, then aimed the craft directly at one the size of a moon. With the Empire's TIE fighters still in pursuit, Han flew the Falcon directly above the asteroid. It was like skimming over the surface of a small, barren planet. Han steered his ship toward still another giant asteroid, and then skillfully maneuvered the Falcon so that the only object between it and the fighters was the huge floating rock. There was a brief flare of light, then nothing. Han smiled to himself in quiet triumph. Then he noticed an image on the main scope and nudged his hairy co-pilot.
There, get a reading on that. That should do nicely.
As they flew near the asteroid's surface, Han looked down at the craggy terrain, his eye caught by a shadowy area. It looked like a crater of mammoth proportions. He flew the Falcon directly into the crater. And still, two TIE fighters chased after him, firing. Spotting a narrow chasm, Han banked the Millennium Falcon to one side. The ship soared sideways through the high-walled rocky trench. The two TIE fighters followed. As Han daringly twisted, banked, and turned his ship through the narrow gorge, one of his pursuers grazed the walls with its metal hull and crashed into its companion. Han reduced speed. He still wasn't safe from the Imperial hunters. He spotted something dark, a gaping cave mouth at the very bottom of the crater. Slowing his ship even more, Han coursed into the cave entrance and through a large tunnel. As Luke Skywalker's tiny X-wing neared the Dagobah planet, he was able to glimpse a portion of its curved surface through a heavy cover of thick clouds. The planet was uncharted and virtually unknown. Was it his hand alone that had guided his ship into this unexplored sector of space? R2-D2, riding in back of Luke's X-Wing, addressed Luke via the computer scope. Luke read the viewscreen interpreter.
Yes, he agreed. It does look a little grim.
He checked the ship's monitors and began to feel a bit nervous. I'm picking up massive life form readings. There's something alive down there. R2 was worried too, and beeped.
Take it easy, Luke insisted. We'll just have to see what happens.
The X-Wing sailed through the twilight halo, separating pitch-black space from the planet's surface. Luke took a deep breath, then plunged his craft into the white blanket of mists. He couldn't see a thing, and the scopes weren't registering anything. He began to work his controls desperately, no longer able to discern even so much as his altitude. When an alarm began to buzz, R2 began his own frantic series of whistles and beeps.
I know, Luke shouted. Hang on, I have to start the landing cycle.
He hit the X-Wing's retro rockets. There was an ear-splitting blast, and Luke felt his stomach plunge as the ship began to drop rapidly. Suddenly, it lunged, and Luke heard an awful sound, as if the limbs of trees were being snapped off by his speeding craft. The X-Wing screeched to a halt with a tremendous jolt. Luke let out a sigh of relief and then pulled the switch that lifted the ship's canopy. Luke Skywalker took his first look at the alien world outside and gasped. The X-Wing was completely surrounded by mists. All Luke could make out in the gloom around him were the twisted trunks and roots of grotesque-looking trees. He pulled himself out of the cockpit as R2 detached his stout body from its cubbyhole plug.
You stay put while I look around,
Luke said, and cautiously climbed out onto the long nose of his ship. He saw that he had crash-landed in a small, fog-shrouded body of water. R2 emitted a short beep. Then there was a loud splash. Luke turned in time to glimpse the droid's domed top disappear beneath the water's foggy surface.
R2! R2! Luke called.
The black waters were serene. They looked extremely deep. Luke was suddenly gripped by the realization that he might never see his droid friend again. Just then, a tiny periscope broke through the surface of the water, and Luke could hear a faint, gurgling beep. With relief, Luke watched the periscope make its way toward shore. He ran along the nose of the X-Wing and jumped, landing in shallow water and scrambling the rest of the way. He looked back and saw that R2 was still making his way toward the beach. Behind the droid, something moved very quickly, too obscured by the mist for Luke to clearly identify it. All he could see was a massive dark form rising for a moment. The creature gained on the tiny robot and then dove. Luke heard a loud bang against the droid's metal hull, a pathetic electronic scream for help, and then nothing. Luke stood, horror-struck, staring at the black waters. And then a few telltale bubbles began to erupt at the surface. A moment later, the runt-sized robot came flying up out of the water, spit out by the thing lurking just beneath the black surface. R2 arced through the air and came crashing down onto a soft patch of moss.
R2, Luke yelled, running to him. Are you okay?
The robot replied with a feeble series of whistles and beeps.
If you're saying coming here was a bad idea, I'm beginning to agree with you, Luke admitted, looking around at their dismal surroundings.
Dusk was quickly approaching. Luke shivered in the thickening fog, closing in on him as he helped R2-D2 back onto his feet and began to wipe away the swamp muck that covered the droid's cylindrical body. As he worked, Luke heard eerie and inhuman cries coming from the distant jungle. Luke could not help wondering if the robed specter of Ben Kenobi had somehow made a mistake leading him to this planet with its mysterious Jedi teacher. He looked over at his X-Wing and groaned. Its entire bottom section was completely submerged in the dark waters. How are we going to get that thing flying again? He wondered aloud, and then added even more miserably, What are we doing here? Darth Vader stood on the main control deck of his mammoth Star Destroyer, staring through the large rectangular window above the deck at the raging field of asteroids that was pelting his ship as it glided through space. Admiral Piet and an aide quietly moved to stand behind their black-garbed master as he turned to one of the 20 hologram images of his Imperial battleship commanders. Static made the image of Captain Nida of the Star Destroyer Avenger fade in and out as he continued making his report.
Which was the last time they appeared in any of our scopes? Considering the amount of damage we've sustained, they also must have been destroyed.
Vader disagreed. He knew of the Millennium Falcon's power and the skills of her cocky pilot.
No, Captain, he snarled. They're alive. I want every ship available to sweep the asteroid field until they're found.
He turned, and all of the holograms vanished.
What is it, Admiral?
The Admiral's trembling voice shook almost as much as his body.
It is the Emperor.
The Emperor? The voice behind the black breath mask repeated.
Yes, he commands you to make contact with him.
Move this ship out of the asteroid field into a position where we can send a clear transmission and code the signal to my private chamber.
The lights of Luke Skywalker's X-Wing fighter pierced the darkness of the bog planet. The ship had sunk deeper into the scummy waters, but there was still enough of it above the surface to let Luke carry needed supplies from the storage compartments. It was now so dark that Luke could scarcely see in front of him. Luke sat down and opened a container of processed food. As he began to eat, he talked to the robot.
Now, All I have to do is find this Yoda, if he even exists. He looked around nervously at the shadows in the jungle. This certainly seems like a strange place to find a Jedi Master. From the sound of his beep, it was clear R2 shared Luke's opinion of the swamp world. Although, Luke continued, there's something familiar about this place. I feel like...
You feel like what?
Luke leaped up, grabbing his pistol, then spun around, peering into the gloom. A tiny creature stood directly in front of him. Luke took a step back in surprise. This little being seemed to have materialized out of nowhere. It stood no more than half a meter in height and could have been any age. Its face was deeply lined, but was framed with elfin, pointed ears that gave it a look of eternal youth. Long white hair was parted down the middle and hung down on either side of the blue-skinned head. The being stood on short legs, which terminated in tridactyl, almost reptilian feet. It wore rags as gray as the mists of the swamp. Luke could not decide whether to be frightened or to laugh. But when he gazed into those bulbous eyes and sensed the being's kindly nature, he relaxed. The creature motioned toward the pistol in Luke's hand.
Away, put your weapon. I mean you no harm.
Luke hesitated, then quietly put his pistol back into his belt, wondering why he felt impelled to obey this little creature.
I am wondering, it said, why you are here.
I'm looking for someone.
Looking? Looking?
A wide smile creased the creature's already lined face.
You found someone, I'd say. Yes.
Luke had to force himself not to smile. Yeah.
Help you? I can. Yes. Yes.
Inexplicably, Luke found himself trusting the odd creature. I don't think so, he replied gently. You see, I'm looking for a great warrior.
A great warrior?
The creature shook his head.
Wars don't make one great.
The tiny hominid turned and hobbled over to the top of the salvaged supply cases. Luke watched in shock as it began to rummage through them.
Get away from there, he said.
The creature ignored Luke and dipped one of his small and delicate hands into another supply case.
Listen, friend, Luke said. We didn't mean to land here, and if I could get my fighter out of this puddle, I would. But I can't, so...
Have you tried?
The creature goaded.
Have you tried?
Luke had to admit he had not, but then the whole idea was patently ludicrous. He didn't have the proper equipment to... Something in the case had attracted the creature's interest. Luke's patience snapped when he saw the creature grab something. Survival depended on those supplies. Luke grabbed for the case, but the creature held on to his prize, a miniature power lamp. The little lamp came alive in the creature's hand, throwing its radiance up into his delighted face.
Give me that, Luke cried. The creature retreated like a petulant child.
Mine! Mine! Or I'll help you not.
Clutching the lamp to his breast, the creature stepped back and bumped into R2-D2.
I don't want your help, Luke said indignantly. I want my lamp back. I'll need it in this slimy mud hole.
Mud hole? Slimy?
Too late, Luke realized he had issued an insult.
My home, this is.
Suddenly, R2's mechanical arm grabbed the pilfered lamp, and immediately the two little figures were engaged in a tug of war over the stolen prize. As they spun about in battle, R2 beeped.
Mine! Mine! Give it back!
The creature cried. Abruptly, he seemed to give up the bizarre struggle, and lightly poked the droid with one bluish finger. R2 emitted a loud, startled squeal, and immediately released the power lamp.
Okay, R2, Luke said, fed up. Let him have it. Now get out of here, little fellow. We've got things to do.
No, no,
the creature pleaded excitedly.
I'll stay and help you find your friend.
I'm not looking for a friend, Luke said. I'm looking for a Jedi Master.
Oh!
The creature's eyes widened as he spoke.
A Jedi Master. Different altogether. Yoda. You seek Yoda.
You know him? Luke asked, surprised. How could an elf like this know anything about a great teacher of the Jedi Knights?
I'll take you to him,
the creature said proudly.
But first, we must eat. Good food. Come. Come.
With that, the creature scurried out of Luke's camp and into the shadows of the swamp. The tiny power lamp he carried was gradually dimming in the distance. Luke suddenly found himself diving into the fog in pursuit. R2's whistling and beeping stopped him. He turned to see the little droid standing forlornly alone.
You'd better stay here and watch over the camp, Luke instructed.
This only made R2 intensify his electronic output. Settle down, Luke called as he ran into the jungle. I can take care of myself. I'll be safe, okay? He hurried to catch up with the little guide. I must really be out of my mind, he thought. But the creature had mentioned Yoda's name. Luke felt compelled to accept any help he could get to find the Jedi Master. Ahead of him, the creature chattered gaily as he led the way through the swamp.
Safe. Quite safe.
And then the mysterious being started to laugh.
Two Imperial cruisers slowly moved across the surface of the great asteroid, dropping bombs on its pockmarked terrain. The Millennium Falcon had to be hidden somewhere within, but where? One of the Imperial Star Destroyers drifting above the asteroid cast an eclipsing shadow across the tunnel entrance. The Millennium Falcon had come to rest hidden in a small cave, which was pitch black and dripping with moisture. With every explosion that pounded the surface above, the ship rattled and vibrated. Inside, Chewbacca worked feverishly to repair the complex powertrain. The first of the explosions made him pop his head through the mass of wires and give out a worried yelp. Princess Leia, who was welding a damaged valve, stopped her work and looked up. The ship was shaken by another blast, less intense than the last. They're moving away, she said. Han shook his head.
They're just trying to see if they can stir up something. We're safe if we stay put.
He moved past her, back to work. Leia finished her welding, but was having trouble re-engaging the valve. Han moved to help her, but she coldly turned her back to him.
Easy, your worship, he said. Only trying to help.
Still struggling with the lever, Leia asked quietly, Would you please stop calling me that? You make things very difficult sometimes. Han had to agree.
I do. I really do. You could be a little nicer, too. Come on, admit it. Sometimes you think I'm all right.
Leia let go of the lever and rubbed her sore hand. Sometimes, she said with a little smile.
Maybe occasionally, when you aren't acting the scoundrel. Scoundrel, he laughed. I like the sound of that.
He reached for Leia's hand and began to massage it. Stop it, she protested. Stop what? He asked softly. What are you afraid of? I'm not afraid, she said, returning his level gaze.
That's why you're trembling?
He asked. He reached out and took her other hand.
I think you like me because I am a scoundrel. I think you haven't had enough scoundrels in your life.
He drew her near. Leia didn't resist his gentle pull. She looked at him. He had never seemed more handsome. But she was still the princess.
I happen to like
nice men, she chided in a whisper. And I'm not nice? Han teased. Yes, she whispered, but you... Before she could finish, Han Solo drew her to him and felt her body tremble as he pressed his lips to hers. She didn't resist at all. When they parted, Leia needed a moment to catch her breath. Okay, hotshot, she began. But then she stopped and suddenly found herself kissing him, pulling him even closer than before.